Bible verse today is Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 22 to 24. Say, this is what the Lord declares. Dead bodies will lie like dung on the open field, like cut grain behind the reaper, with no one to gather them. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord.
I was going to turn my mic off mute, but I forgot. No, that's not how I was going to start. I was going to start by introducing myself, because I don't normally come to 6 p.m., as you heard. But I don't need to introduce myself, do I now? Lara's already done it. So, and she's mentioned a lot more things than I would have said. So a very comprehensive introduction. Thank you, Lara, for that. It is great to be back in this role as interim senior pastor, although just for a very short time this time compared to being here a whole year back in 2023. But it has been great. It's been a real privilege to serve you in that way. Though I must admit, I do feel a bit like an old rocker doing a final comeback farewell gig. But just so you know, you don't have to give me another farewell party. That wasn't part of the arrangement. Although I do like farewell parties. If you no, you don't need to. Not at all. When I asked Tim what I should preach on, he basically said anything, because we're between series. So I chose these three verses from Jeremiah that were just read to us. They include the phrases, this is what the Lord declares, there at the beginning of verse 22, and this is what the Lord says at the beginning of verse 23. Now, to my mind, that makes them pretty significant and worth pondering. I've never preached, on them before, seeing I was given a captain's pick, I thought this would be a good opportunity to explore these verses with you. You'll notice that the word boast appears five times in those last two verses, and it's obviously a key theme. When something's repeated that many times, I think we're meant to take notice. So the theme is about boasting, so let me kick off by telling you my favourite joke about boasting. There were three children in the schoolyard bragging about their fathers. And the first one says, my dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, he calls it a poem, and they pay him $50 for it. The second one says, well, that's nothing. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, and he calls it a song, and they give him $200. Well, the third child says, I beat both of you. My dad's more important than both your dads. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, calls it a sermon, and it takes eight people to collect all the money. Now, if the stewards would like to come forward and pass... No, just a joking. I'm glad some of you laughed at least. That's not necessary. It was just a joke. Nothing. It wasn't leading into anything. We'll come back to verses 23 and 24 in a moment, but I want to focus first of all on just this verse 22. Not a very nice verse, is it, compared to the other two? Quite jarring. It's not what you expect to hear when you come to church, is it, about the dung lying in the field? I wasn't actually going to include that verse in the reading or in what I was going to say, but on reflection, it is quite a significant verse as well, because it sums up the situation at the time. We're talking around 610 BC. God had given Jeremiah a series of prophecies for Judah and its people. Now, Judah, with its capital at Jerusalem, was the southern kingdom of Israel. And in fact, all that was left of the nation. The northern kingdom had already been conquered and its people and tribes dispersed. Now God says through Jeremiah that the Babylonians are going to sweep down from the north, and Judah and Jerusalem will be captured as well. That many will die and many will be taken into exile. The dead bodies lying like dung in the field are the bodies of the Judahites. They'll be like stalks of grain that have been cut down, and they're just lying around in the fields with no one there to gather them up. Two very graphic metaphors describing what's coming. If you get a chance in the surrounding chapters, there are many more metaphors of coming destruction that are just as startling, if not more so. This was God's punishment on them for a catalogue of sins that Jeremiah also points out in some of the surrounding passages. These transgressions included hypocritical worship, corrupt priests and leaders, prophets who were false prophets leading the people astray through false prophecies, idolatry, especially the worship of the foreign god Baal, human sacrifice, which was involved in some of their idolatry, necromancy, prostitution, mistreatment of widows and orphans, oppression of the poor, slavery, bribery, injustice. Like the list just goes on and on as you read through these chapters of Jeremiah. To sum it up, the nation was in spiritual and moral decline, seriously. There was a lack of reverence for God and total disregard for God's laws and God's commandments. The people had in fact flagrantly broken their covenant with God. God had continually warned them of the consequences of what they were doing, of their sin, but they repeatedly rejected God's warnings. As a result, what Jeremiah prophesied came to pass about 20 years later. Judah was overrun, Jerusalem was besieged and eventually fell, even the temple was totally destroyed, and the people were taken off into exile in Babylon. Now, in amongst Jeremiah's warnings and prophecies, we have these two wonderful verses about boasting. They were spoken by Jeremiah about 2,600 years ago, as I said, but I think they still have a very powerful relevance to today. Let me suggest, I think they are relevant for Israel today. Israel claims descendancy as a nation from the Israel of their scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. Jesus summed up the whole law by quoting from the Torah, "Love God and love your neighbour." And yet we are witnessing the shocking slaughter and starvation of Palestinian citizens who are their neighbours, their direct neighbours, including so many women and children. Every passing day, it looks more and more like genocide. That's the opposite of loving God and loving your neighbour. But these verses are also relevant to the world's nations more generally. All nations who think that they know best, all nations who think that multiplying their arsenals of destruction makes them strong, all nations who endlessly seek greater and greater wealth. But these verses are relevant in another way, and this is what I want to focus on tonight. They are relevant to individuals, including you and me. They describe entrenched aspects of human nature. Even while we might point the finger at around the world or at the people next to us or near us, we need to look within to our own hearts. We need to know ourselves. In verse 23, we are warned about boasting in three particular areas: in wisdom, in strength, and in riches. But note that the instructions are to people who already have these things. Are you wise? Jeremiah says, don't boast about it. Are you strong? Well, don't boast about that either. Are you rich? Don't boast about your wealth. But it begs the question, doesn't it? Why not? Aren't these things to be proud of? They're certainly better than being dumb and weak and poor, aren't they? Aren't achievements that make you wiser and stronger and richer to be applauded? The instructions, though, here aren't against the possession of wisdom or strength or riches. The instructions here are about boasting in them. And when you think about it, these things we can contribute to a large degree to things that are outside of ourselves, that we have no control over. They're due in large part to your DNA, the circumstances perhaps into which you were born, your brain capacity and your brain function and your IQ, your physical and emotional strength, whether you were born into a privileged country or family. These things you have little control over. That should make us humble and thankful, not arrogant and boastful. It should make us mindful of others, particularly those with less intellectual capacity, less power, or less finances. Not being self-absorbed and wanting others to also focus on me, that's a result that should have as well. Boasting has the aim of elevating me higher and higher, but it has the effect of putting others down lower and lower. But verse 24 tells us that there's something we can boast about. Have you ever thought about that? You can boast about something. It's about knowing the Lord and His kindness, justice, and righteousness. The sort of understanding and knowing here this passage is talking about, it's not just a mental thing, it's not just knowing about, it's talking about a relationship with God. Do you know how kind God is personally through your relationship with God? Do you know how just God is? Do you know how righteous God is? Well, if you don't, then you don't know God. Actually, that's probably a bit harsh. Let me try and rephrase it. If you don't know these things about God, then you have a lot to learn about God. The sort of boasting in verse 24 is different to the boasting in verse 23. The boasting in verse 23 is speaking about self-satisfaction, self-reliance, self-importance, the focus being all on self. It's a form of excessive pride, and we know that pride separates us from God. But boasting in the Lord is different. Boasting in the Lord acknowledges God's strength and grace and power and sovereignty. The focus there is on God, on God's nature and God's work. And it involves giving praise and honour to God. Your translation may not have that word boast. Quite a lot of the modern translations, and some of the older ones too, have the word glory rather than boast. In other words, glory not in yourself, but glory in the Lord. The question is, and I've tried to represent it there on that slide, the question is, who am I going to glorify or give glory to? To me or to God? Our four sons went to a private school in the inner west where we were living at the time, Trinity Grammar, and they have a motto in Latin, Detur Gloria Solideo. Any Latin students can translate that? No, I didn't do Latin either, so let me tell you what it means. It means Detur Gloria Solideo. It means glory be to God alone. That's the way to boast. That's the way, that's the one to give glory to God alone. Not to ourselves, but to God. Who are you going to glorify? Yourself or God? That's the question in that slide. Let me make a couple of applications from these verses, just three. First of all, we need to reevaluate priorities. Am I focusing on the things that are temporary or the things that are of lasting worth? Education, keeping healthy and fit, material success are obviously desirable and not inherently wrong, but we shouldn't let these things define us. Our identity and purpose is best found elsewhere. Now that might sound a little bit countercultural, and yes, I agree, it is countercultural, but it's biblical. Gaining wisdom, strength, and wealth may be okay depending on how and why we do it. But are these the most important things? That's the question. Because they can all be taken away from us so quickly by disease or illness, an accident perhaps, advancing age, a flood or fire. Many have realised that over the last couple of years. Or some other natural disaster, a stock market crash, a pandemic, scammers. It makes sense then to shift the focus of one's life from things that are just temporary and are going to pass away and fade away to those things that are permanent. Verse 24 talks about knowing God. That is permanent and that is eternal. Secondly, build a relationship with God. This is about shifting of our focus too, a shifting of focus from self-reliance to relying on God. We grow in our relationship with God by, I've listed three things here and none of them are new to you. You've heard them many times before. The first one is by investing time in prayer. We've just done a whole series on prayer and I appreciate that prayer we had just a moment ago that reminded us about that. That's a way, an important way of growing in our relationship with God, by spending time with God in prayer, but also by studying God's word and reflecting on it, and also by doing what we're doing together tonight, worshipping God. Building a relationship with God involves learning what God is like and learning what God likes. You want to know what God is like and what God likes? Well, 24, verse 24 is a very helpful start here. It's not the whole answer, but it's a great start. God describes himself here as a God of kindness, justice and righteousness. That's what God's like. That's God's character. We're thinking before about our character or our human nature, but look here at the contrast, what God is like, kindness, justice, and righteousness. And God adds, in these I delight. This is what I like, says God, kindness, justice, and righteousness. And the third application I'd like to suggest from these verses, we'll go back one. Yep, that's it. Develop godly character. If you were here last Sunday, Enoch spoke about the importance of character, godly character, from the book of Titus. And I'll just add a couple of things here to that from verse 25. It might well be human nature to strive to gain knowledge and power and wealth, but don't let your pursuit of any of these things be at the expense of character. To grow more like God in character, we need to be growing in kindness. Actually, that's a bit of a wishy-washy translation of the Hebrew word here. The Hebrew word is kesed, which is more... It's difficult to translate into English. You often need a couple of words, but many of the translations translate it as loving kindness or steadfast love or even faithful love. It's much more than just being kind. To grow more like God in character, we need to be growing in that, in loving kindness. To grow more like God in character, we also need to be growing in justice. With so much injustice around us in the world, we need to be God's ambassadors, acting justly ourselves and advocating for justice. And to grow more like God in character, we need to live lives of righteousness, following the right ways of God. Developing godly character also requires a shift in our focus from the superficial to the deep, profound things of life. When we do this, we're becoming more like Jesus in our discipleship walk, because Jesus came to earth revealing those exact same characteristics: loving kindness, justice, and righteousness. As I conclude, I'd like to leave you with an example of how this can work out in practice. It's a biblical example, the Apostle Paul. In two of his letters, he quotes from Jeremiah 9:24. And in 2 Corinthians 11, he has an extended discourse where he warns the church about false teachers who were infiltrating their meetings. But as he does that, he talks about boasting. I'll read just a few verses. It's a very long passage. I'll just read some selected verses, and I'll read it in the Message version. "Will you put up with a little foolish aside from me? Please, just for a moment. If you put up with these big shot apostles, why can't you put up with simple me? I'm as good as they are. It's true that I don't have their voice, haven't mastered that smooth eloquence that impresses you so much. But when I do open my mouth, I at least know what I'm talking about. Let me come back to where I started, and don't hold it against me if I continue to sound a little foolish. Since you admire the egomaniacs of the pulpit so much, remember, this is your old friend, the fool, talking. Let me try my hand at it. Do they brag of being Hebrews, Israelites, the pure race of Abraham? I'm their match. Are they servants of Christ? I can go them one better. I can't believe I'm saying these things. It's crazy to talk this way. But I started and I'm going to finish. I've worked much harder, been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count, and at death's door time after time. I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews' 39 lashes, beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks 1. I've been shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the open sea for a night and a day. In hard travelling year in and year out, I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends and struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by a desert sun and sea storm, and betrayed by those I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labour, many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather. That's just a few of the selected verses. It's a long passage. In fact, goes over into the next chapter. It sounds like Paul's bragging, doesn't it? But I think there's enough of those asides. He's saying, well, if you want to compare me to these others, then let me tell you the facts. He's not bragging because listen to his punchline. If I have to brag about myself, I'll brag about the humiliations that make me more like Jesus. Wow. That's glorifying in the Lord. That's boasting in the Lord. And Paul makes it clear that the only thing he really wants to boast about are his weaknesses, because when he is weak, God is able to display God's strength. So there's someone who led the way in shifting his preoccupation from the temporary to the lasting, from self-reliance to God-reliance, and from the superficial to the profound. May the Spirit help us all to do likewise. Amen.